All right, welcome back, community group leaders, to the Deeper Podcast. My name is Jeremy Nguyen, and I am the host, and here again with Joe Hishma.
Hey, everyone. Great to be with you this week.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. Joe, share with us, what's the big idea in the passage that we're covering today?
Okay, we're looking at 1 John 3, verses 11 through 24, and the big idea is this: the way I love will either take life or give life to others.
Excellent. Okay, so before we dive into the passage, kind of the growing together time that we wanted to talk about was how a great community group facilitator asks great questions.
That's really important.
Yeah, I mean, we've taken a lot of time to intentionally just think through, you know, what is even the name of our groups? And so we say it's a community group because we want you to be able to have community with each other. And a part of having community is being able to ask great questions, to be able to listen, to seek understanding, and to grow deeper together. And so, you know, as we think about asking great questions, I think this helps you as a community group leader and facilitator not to feel this pressure of, okay, I've got to have all this content ready to go. I've got to have all the answers. You're there to ask good questions and allow the Holy Spirit to move in the group and move together. So,
absolutely.
How is that in your group, Joe?
Yeah, no. So, if you think about what a question does, a question engages the mind, and a question in relationship engages the heart.
Yeah.
What do you feel about this, or what does this passage say about it? And when you do a question, it leads the life to discovery. And people grow and learn by discovery. That's why most of the catechisms, ancient catechisms that are out there, all start with questions so that people can, it engages a curiosity that ultimately meets discovery, and then that's progress in learning. So.
Yeah. And so today, even hopefully we're going to model what that looks like to ask some good questions. So we definitely want to make sure you guys understand the content of the passage. But the questions that you ask, don't have them just be knowledge questions. Have them really be questions that helps grow their understanding of who they are in Christ, and also of how do they apply this in their lives. I know in our group, sometimes when you say, okay, what does verse 1 mean? We might not get much discussion. But when we take the truth that's in Scripture, and say, hey, how has this looked like in your life? All of a sudden, people just start asking. And that's great. That's what a community group is supposed to look like.
Yeah, even that whole picture of what is God saying to you through this? That's another one where you just start thinking about a relationship with God that you'll be willing to share with others.
And I love how people bring out different perspectives. People, different things stick out. Different people see things differently. And it's wonderful. I learn a lot from other people that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to dive into the passage. So we're in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24, and we're going to break into three different sections. We're going to go verses 11 through 15, verses 16 through 18, and the verses 19 through 24. And before Joe reads the first part, just say verse 11 is going to be kind of that anchor passage. So it's, again, for this is the message that you have heard from me from the beginning, that we should love one another. So you're going to see this theme of loving one another. Another thing is, we're going to see some similar words that we've seen throughout 1 John. So, Joe, can you just give us a reminder? We've got the word beginning.
That's right.
We've got the word world, abide, little children, love.
Yes.
Just remind us again, what are some of these words mean for us?
Okay, so remember, if you to abide in loving fellowship with God is to believe, to love, and to obey. And as you look at that, it's all because we've been brought into the family of God. We're His children, right? And we're brought into a family not to just coexist with God, but to thrive in loving fellowship with Him. And so He's going to really talk through that. It's abiding. It's all about you finding your source of life and your source of love through a relationship, a fellowship with God through Jesus Christ.
Excellent. And then beginning and world, what do those mean?
Great. So beginning is, as we'll learn today, it's when Jesus first gave it, right? It's not just the beginning of time or the beginning when the world was created. It's when Jesus lived, He said this, and he's the commander, right? He's the one who says it, and we're to follow that. And then world, the world that we're looking at here is that which is opposed to God, and it's rebellious against God. It doesn't want God to tell it what to do, and it doesn't like people who believe in God because it doesn't like the ultimate leader, who is Jesus. So,
and then the word love. So I know there's different Greek words for love. Is it the word agape?
It is. It's the predominant. Okay. It's the predominant word for love here, and that is the love that's sacrificial, unconditional love of God that's been given to us in Christ.
Excellent. All right, well, let's go in verses 11 through 15.
Okay, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Now, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Okay, so we see Cain is the example of the way of the world, and we're going to just dive in a little deeper on something that you don't cover a ton in your message, but that's going to be, we're going to focus on verses 14 and 15. Okay. So the first thing it says is, we know that we have passed out of death into life. So that's that assurance of salvation. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. So the first thing is speak to how does this give us that assurance of salvation, but also it's not, you know, it says because we love the brothers, it's not because we do these works.
Yeah.
So can you just explain a little bit what that verse is saying?
Sure. So as you look at this passage, it's a picture of abiding, right? And if you are not abiding, then you're kind of just coexisting with God, or the Antichrist kind of thing. You're against him. When I look at this and see that the whole picture of that we passed out of death into life, is it's kind of like an indicator. This is an indicator that you know that you're abiding in God and God in you, is that he's going to grow your love for the brothers.
Yeah.
And it's not a picture of if you struggle with a person and you're angry against them, you're not a believer. That's not the picture any more than the person who practices lawlessness that he talked about in the earlier part of chapter 3. It's just that it's inconceivable if you are a child of God and you're abiding in him to act like a child of Satan and then to abide in hatred. And so that's just not the plan, and that's certainly not what we're going to be doing in eternal life. Eternal life is going to be all about loving God and loving each other. So to abide in that eternal life, we have to love one another.
Great. Okay, now let's go to even a little more complicated one. Verse 15, it says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Okay, so again, this is a picture of rather than just going out and slaying someone like Cain did, it was following the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said, if you have hatred for your brother in your heart, you've committed murder.
Yeah.
And so it's
Matthew
that 5, picture.
22.
That's right. Thank you on that one. I didn't have it right off the top of my head. So the picture that we're called into there is not to be that murderer, not to foster hatred. And if, let's just say the Bible said, don't worry about hatred, just don't murder, okay? Well, every murder starts in the mind. And the mind gives the soil for the root of hatred and anger, which then shows itself out through the heart and builds on it and feeds it. And all of a sudden, murder comes. So the heart of God is going to be the heart of sin in our lives, and to pull that out and not tolerate hatred. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have that emotion. There are going to be people that we dislike, and there are going to be people who just represent evil to us, who we are called we're called to love. We're called not to hate them, at least. I mean, if you look at all the degrees of love, there's going to be that angle of, okay, I will not harm you if I really dislike you. I will not talk about you behind your back. I will seek restoration, okay? I will seek to confess my sins to you that we might be healed. I mean, all those are stages in forgiveness and loving someone who is your enemy. They don't all happen at once.
That's great. Okay, well, hopefully, leaders, that's helpful for you in case you get questions about that in your groups. So now let's read verses 16 through 18. I can read this
why don't
Joe.
You do that?
Okay, it says this, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if everyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Okay, so I'm just going to zone in on one thing that you don't talk about in your sermon, and something that it's kind of a specific question, but in verse 17, it talks about, so if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So practically, what does that look like, and where is the line in that? As Americans, I mean, we are blessed.
Yeah.
We are blessed with lots of resources, but obviously we all have certain capacities, and you know, we're called to be wise. So does this mean, you know, every homeless person we see that we're supposed to give money to, or you know, we have foster families in our house? I mean, does it mean every time they have an opportunity, they are supposed to say yes? How do we have that discernment to know what that looks like?
I guess I don't know that I have a hard and fast standard that I would give you, but there's some questions I would just go with. And that, number one, am I even ready to meet needs of people around me? That if God put them in front of me, would I be ready for them? Because if I'm not, then it's just going to kind of eat at me when I kind of drive by them or pass by them. And I talked to Barry Feeker, who is the head of Topeka Rescue Mission. He says, just do not give money. Do not give money that's just used for so many things. But we can give food. And I have a friend who drives around with food in their trunk. When they see someone, they pull over and give something to them. I bought fast food. I've done anything on that, but anything that I've been available for at the time. But I've also had times when I've just passed by, and that's where this passage just goes, how's God's love abiding in me? Yeah. And I don't think it's going to be, I think love begets love. So if I'm like, I don't do that at all, and I start to do that, the only way I'm going to grow is if I begin. Right. And the only way I'm going to grow in that is not just to let one negative experience of the past bother me, but to just do the next one and the next one. And a simple prayer is, God, lead me to people who need help. And I know it's a scary prayer because you're going to lose something on it. But I think that's the way it's the composure of my mind that's available to God for his purposes to love people that come across me.
Great. All right, let's go to the final chunk. And just by reminder, so we've got talked about loving one another, Cain, the way of the world, and then this last part has been the church, the love of God. Now we're going to move into how to be a life giver.
Okay, so here in verse 19, it says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Great. Okay, so at this time, I'm going to remind community group leaders how to get and access Joe's message notes, because you have 5 points that you talk about this. Yeah. So if you have your phone, you can open up. And if you don't have the FBC mobile app, I encourage you to download that. Go to the app store, type in Fellowship Bible Church Topeka. It'll come up. You click on the app. You go in there, messages, click on messages, safe and sound, week 8. And then when you go to message notes, you click on that. And it pulls it up. And Joe does a great job of mapping out the 5 key points of how do you be a life giver? We're going to have some discussion on that in a second. But the only thing I'd like to just dive a little deeper on in this part is the role of the Holy Spirit. So it goes in verse 24.
Yeah.
And it's talking about how to be a life giver. And it closes with, whoever keep these commands, all these things that we're called to do, abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So just talk to us a little bit about the role of the Holy Spirit in the midst of being a life giver and being able to love one another.
Yeah, so a life with Jesus is where he sources us in life and in love and truth and grace and mercy and righteousness and justice. I mean, he is the one who does that. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guide, as a counselor, as a empowerer, as someone who enlightens our eyes. So we don't have any hope to do what God commands us to do without depending and abiding in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so this whole picture of loving each other, when you look at what gives pleasure to the Spirit It's when we're loving each other. Mm-hmm. It's when we forgive one another. Mm-hmm. It's when we're tenderhearted. Mm-hmm. We get this whole picture of the Holy Spirit being grieved when we fight, grieve when we have disagreements, grieve when we separate from each other and talk behind each other, behind their backs, and behind our backs. And so we're called to keep in step with that Spirit who leads and directs us to look more and more like Jesus.
All right. We're going to now just have some time of application. Let's have some questions. So I've got one question for kind of each chunk of those verses.
Great.
So as we look at verses 11 through 15, you know, that's where we're talking about Cain and murder and all this stuff, and everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. So here's my question is, who in your heart do you not love or angry or have hatred with that you need to forgive and begin to love? So I'm not going to ask for us to verbally share this out loud.
But we're going to be putting names behind us, and we're going to be calling, just letting you all in on that, right?
So, you know, I don't know how vulnerable your group is, but I think it's totally appropriate to ask this question and just say, hey, take some time and just write that down in a journal or just think about who that is. And in your quiet time through the week, allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work through that so that God and the Holy Spirit can melt that spirit of hatred, that spirit of anger, that spirit of frustration towards that person, and allow you to begin to forgive and love them.
Yeah. And I would say when I'm not surrendering that person by name to Jesus, I will tend to pick them apart in my mind and process their hurt in my life and their lack of maturity, yeah. All those things that just keep me angry at them. Yeah. And yet God would never lead you to hatred or murder. And so if I'm praying and trusting them and if to the Lord, and if I'm giving them over and asking God to help me love them and to pray for blessing in their lives rather than revenge,
yes,
or whatever else I want from them, then I give the Holy Spirit a chance, and He moves and works in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads then actually pretty easily into 16 through 18. So the first part of 16, pull up the passage. It says, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." So, you know, as we remember how we're sinful just like everybody else, you realize that we need the gospel just like those that we might have anger with. But as we look to this, here's the question. How does the truth that Jesus laid down His life for you impact your desire to love others, even to the point of laying down your life for them? So, Joe, how does the picture of the gospel, how does that impact in the way that you love one another?
So I think my default switch is, what can I get? You know,
yes.
What's it benefit for me? Mm-hmm. I've find myself in marriage doing that. I find that myself in relationships doing that. When someone can be a benefit to me, I can kind of steer things towards that way. But really, a simple prayer is, how can I give? How can I give here? And what can I do to make Cheryl's day easier? What can I do to make Cheryl's day brighter? What can I do to encourage Cheryl today? And if I know something's happening with Cheryl, I'm praying for her. I'm giving myself up. What my mind or life could be doing apart from that, I'm giving up. And ultimately, when I come in a room, it can't be, what can people do for me? Or even that feeling in leadership when you have a lot of people in a room that you're leading, mm-hmm, to get to feed off that, yeah, as if it adds to your, yeah, personhood. And to step back and say, God, how can I help these people today? How can I be a blessing to them?
Yeah, my response would be similar. I just think too often I'm thinking about myself. And as I'm thinking about myself, you know, then it becomes transactional with people of, okay, well, this person's loved me this much, so I'll love them that much. And I understand where our friendship level is. And this other person that is a deeper friendship, I'll do more for that person versus, I mean, Jesus died for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst sinner to Mother Teresa. And so if my mentality can be thinking about myself less and more, as we're going to see in a moment, like, who is that person that God's putting in front of me? Who are those people that, and what are those opportunities that I can use to love? I think as I think about myself less and more just about what is it that God's calling me to, it'll give me just freedom and, mm-hmm, not be worrying about what's, yeah, the cost going to be to me in that situation.
That's right. That's right.
All right, so here's the final question. So as you go to the message notes in the app, you'll see, again, there's five different things that Joe lays about how to be a life giver. So You know, as we look at these five, Joe, which one would be the key for you to opening what you need the most to be a life giver?
I think I'm always preparing. I'm always preparing. I'm preparing for the weekend. So the weekend gets over, I'm preparing for the next one. The weekend starts up, I'm preparing for staff meetings on Tuesday. I'm preparing for an elder meeting on Wednesday night. I'm preparing for another thing that we're going to be doing on the weekend. So when you're always preparing, it's so easy to miss the person in front of you. And so that's the one that really kind of opened my heart up a little bit, did some surgery to show me sometimes I'm just going from point A to point B and I'm missing all the people God places right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it could be a word of encouragement. Other times it could be stop to just check in and see how someone's doing. Sometimes it can be a follow-up. Sometimes it'll be encouragement. But just slowing down and looking at the person in front of me. Mm-hmm. So the world's goods doesn't have to be money. Yeah. It's time, right? It's opportunity. It's influence. All those are world's goods. People like to have those things. And God's given many of them to me, so I want to give them to them.
Pretty sure you looked at my notes and cheated off of my answer.
Oh, really?
Answer.
Yeah, okay, yours too?
Yeah. So, I mean, you had look for the person in front of you. And so in my notes, I kind of had a tweak of slow down and see the person in front of you. So,
yeah
I agree with you. And I can relate with some of those things of just I'm very mission driven. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't do things because I don't care about relationships. It's because what I'm doing is going to impact relationships, but that can have a cost of that's missing right. that person that's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second follow-up would be following the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So when that opportunity is in front of you, allowing the Holy Spirit to give you the discernment of what's that question to ask? You know, what is it that I can do to help give encouragement or be vulnerable myself or show empathy or make sure they feel valued and included in all those different things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, those are the two that I'm at, I would say.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to have some time for prayer for leaders. Could you pray for our groups?
I'd love to.
All right.
Father, we come to you right now, and I just commit every community group leader who is connected to this podcast. Bless them, encourage them, give them good questions to ask. And Lord, as people respond, I pray that they'd be affirming and would encourage those answers. No matter what they say, help them to look for something positive there and encouraging. And Lord, help us to be life givers. The way of the world is to be a life taker. And so we want to be people who reflect the love of Jesus by giving ourselves away to make Jesus greater. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, looking ahead, we've got on Thursday, we've got the Women's Spring of Hope event. So hopefully the women in community groups have registered for that. I think they've got close to 500 registered. Looks
That's
like
awesome.
An incredible evening. We have Easter services. Make sure you register for Easter services on
in
Saturday.
In 2 weeks.
It's going to be here fast.
Yeah, it is.
So we've got on Saturday the 3:15, 5, and then 6:30, and then Sunday we have the donut service at 7:30, and then a 9:15 and 11. So again, make sure you go online and register. And the final thing is ShareFest. We'll be talking more about ShareFest in the coming weeks, but for now, mark that in your calendar, April 24th, 8 to noon, and it's live. You can go to sharefesttopeka.com and register. Talk with your group about which site you'd like to serve at, and make sure you each sign up individually for that same site so you can serve together. All right. With that, groups, thank you for joining and being part of the Deeper Podcast. We hope this has been helpful for you as you confidently lead your groups. We hope you ask great questions, have good discussion this week. We're praying for you as you shepherd your groups. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.